once more under the breach, dear friend.
Else close the wall up with our English dead.
And here we are, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, with another exciting second hour of The Personal Wealth Coach, starring Jeff and
Jake
McClure. And if today is the day before Christmas where you are and it's 2017, you're welcome to give us a telephone call in here. You can call 254-773-1400. Talk about anything that has to do with the economy or money or investing or anything of that ilk. By the way, we were talking about $2 bills a little earlier.
Yes.
The United States government, for some reason, has assiduously – I like that's my word.
Assiduously or astiduously? Because I don't think assiduous is
– It's actually assiduously, and yeah. I mispronounced it. Avoided doing what the Canadians did with a great deal of success, and the only reason I can think of
– What did the Canadians do?
They had a $1 Canadian bill, and they had a $1 Canadian coin, and both of them were too expensive to produce in mass, and they thought, let's do something, because inflation has really cut the value of the dollar.
So they went to the loonies and the toonies. The loonie and the toonie.
And the loonie is a $2 coin, and it is used extensively across Canada. It's used in vending machines. It's used.
Well, they like coins.
And the point is that
we don't like coins here for some reason.
Well, you know, when they came out with the dollar coin, it was almost exactly the size of the quarter. No wonder. I mean, I spent the $1, the various Civic and whatever all the various names are that they, you know, the Susan B. Anthony and the
right. Susan B. Anthony was the one that was the same size. Yeah.
But they still
it was kind of goldish
are
brass
about
color.
The same size as a quarter, and I would grab it and spend it and not realize that I'd spent a dollar and I'd actually when I was trying to spend a quarter.
Well, just think of the earnings growth to the corporations. See, you were just supporting the earnings growth of corporations.
Yeah,
see,
yeah, but they
what's the problem?
There was no actual earnings growth to the corporation because the accountants at the end of the day said, "Where did this extra money come from?"
No, we just missed a zero somewhere.
So
we
the Canadians
got accounting problems.
The Canadians created a coin that did not at all feel like a quarter, but wasn't excessively heavy like the old silver dollar because it the loonie has is not round. I mean, it's round, but it has sharp sides on it. And a whole series of straight sides. I think it's got 8 sides or 16 sides or something like that.
The toonie is the $2 coin, by the way.
It's the toonie. Yeah, the loonie is the $1 coin?
Yeah, the toonie.
Ah. Toonie. But the point is, it cut the cost of creating currency because of two reasons. Well, the principal thing is these things last a long time because they're not designed with any silver in them. They're not designed to do anything except be tough.
You know, this is very Canadian in humor. The tail side bears an image of a bear. So it bears the bear. Mm-hmm. And the Canadians love puns. It's very interesting. They're they love puns, eh? And so anyway, it bears a polar bear on the back.
Mm-hmm.
And so tails, it should have the tail of a polar bear instead as the head of a toad. But it's very confusing. We've got a caller on 773-1400.
So, caller, you are on the air with the Personal Wealth Coach. Go ahead.
Hey, Mr. and Mr. McClure. This is Lynn here. I was going to tell you.
Lynn who? Mr. Secretary. Mr. Secretary.
Yeah, Secretary. That would be me.
You're the Secretary of Illogic, right?
I listen to you guys every week.
We're very sorry. Very sorry.
Yeah, I was going to say the toonie is the $2 bill or the $2 coin.
$2 coin, yeah.
The word two in it. And it has a little part in the middle that you can put it in the freezer and it'll pop out kind of. But
it's bimetal.
Exactly. Have you ever taken a Susan B. Anthony and one of the gold-colored dollar coins that I happen to have about $10 worth of on me right now, and compared them? I don't think there's any difference in the size or the shape.
I think isn't there like some angular in
there
on
is,
the edge?
But it's inside the circle.
Okay,
the coin itself is a circle. Okay, and now to my question. I woke up thinking this morning about the corn hog cycle and the Battle of Agincourt and all these kind of things, and it made me wonder what the McClures think. And if you did this, I tuned in about a quarter till, so you were talking about coinage and the Bitcoin. I'm wondering what the McClure's assessment of Trump year one is. the successes, the failures? Has he been a good president? Is it about Russian collusion, or is it about what he's done? And without prejudicing your answer with the question, I'm just seriously curious to know what you guys think of it.
Oh, okay. Good question. And
I'll see you later. I'll listen on
Thanks for the call.
You want me to answer that?
I got one. You got one. Well, we can both answer it.
I think he's done. This is you're going to think this is a little strange. I think the president has done a horrible job the first year, but his administration has done a good job. Meaning that there are some policies in place and some judges have been nominated that I think are
– Gorsuch is amazing.
Yeah, Gorsuch is good. The new – as a matter of fact, I want to talk about this today. The new strategic statement by the United States is – I think it's brilliant.
Good, well done.
It's an historic change. There's a lot of things that have happened during the Trump administration that have been really positive. On the other hand, I can say that the tweets have diminished the ability of the president to shape events. They have lowered the respect for the office. And they one of the problems that I see is that there's a lot of things we're not getting done in the world, and you really have to dig deep to see the things we're not getting done that we theoretically said we'd like to get done. And the reason is because the Trump administration, through pure neglect, has overlooked nominating several thousand undersecretaries for this, that, and the other, including in the State Department and in a lot of other places. There's money in the Department of Education. Maybe you think the Department of Education ought to be gotten rid of, in which case let's take some action to get rid of it. But don't allocate the money to the Department of Education that's supposed to go to the local school districts, including the ones around here, and then not nominate anybody who can authorize that money to be transferred.
Yeah, so – let me come at this and kind of go to the root of the question. We measure presidents in different ways. My preferred measurement for a president is, did they lead us into a catastrophe? And that means that I would have to give Barack Obama and Donald Trump to date the same rating.
Yeah.
There was no major preventable catastrophe that we hit. I
think George W. Bush led us into catastrophe,
but also helped avoid further catastrophes.
Right.
So I've got to give a different rating to George W. Bush, in that catastrophe that was avoidable was avoided, and catastrophe that was avoidable was not avoided.
Well,
so multiple things happened there. The leadership in the war was not great. Okay, so Barack Obama, well, he didn't bring us out of those same positions because they're a lot harder to get out of than to get into. Donald Trump is adding more to it. So as far as the military side of things, there are good reasons to be where we are overseas. There are also good reasons to have good plans for being there, and it's politically expedient not to have good plans for why we are where we are. The strategic briefing that he gave the world recently was quite good.
He didn't give it his administration.
His name's at the bottom of it.
It is?
Yeah, he signed off on it. So I'm going to say he gave it.
And that's one of the things I wanted to talk about in this.
I would say he hasn't done badly. Now, looking ahead and looking at history, knowing that shrinking by neglect is how he's shrinking government, that's not a good way of doing it. I prefer Reagan's approach at the beginning to strategically cutting and then strategically growing. But having some plan on how you shrink government is a lot better than just randomly shrinking based on events that are occurring, rather than saying this is a good thing and this is a bad thing. But not that he would be able to get that done either.
We've expressed this before, and Lynn, if you object to it, I really want to hear your argument on this. Running the deficit up a couple of trillion dollars more than it was going to go up before, so that the Joint Committee on Taxation, which is a pretty fair judge, I think, and they had a unanimous agreement on it, the tax bill that was passed by Congress and signed by the president.
Which we are pleased to receive, but not really excited about the country.
I love the tax break I'm going to get.
We're gonna save a lot of money here.
Look, Jake did all the calculations because he's actually reading the bill. And three
quarters of the way through it, by the way, finding all kinds of funny stuff.
He demonstrated that what we as small business owners are going to pay less, what we're going to save in taxes next year.
And lots less.
Mind-boggling. But the issue of running the debt held by the public, according to the Joint Committee on Taxation, from its current 60-some percent up to 100% over the next 10 years to intentionally do that. I just don't get it personally, fiscally, or anything else because, you know, we have a tolerable debt level right now in the United States. And if we were to just simply say, okay, let's do something that's revenue neutral, like Reagan did, and we just leave this mess alone and we get the growth that we've been getting, the United States would be paying its way out of debt for the next 10 years so that 10 years from now, as a percentage of GDP, our total debt would be less than it is today. And that includes dynamic scoring by the committee on the Joint Committee on Taxation.
We got a caller coming in here.
Yeah, okay, go ahead.
This may be Lynn. Who knows?
Yes.
A caller on 773-1400. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Yeah, it's me. You asked my opinion on this. Yeah. I'm a debt hawk and always have been, as you know. I've always believed
Did you say a debt hawk or a dead hawk?
I'm on I-35.
Oh, okay. All right.
And I will be hearing the whole entirety of your show because I'm headed to Waco and I'm not getting there quickly.
Well, Merry Christmas.
It's moving at 40 miles an hour.
Well, you know, it's obvious it's because of the recession.
Well, I have a guitar string emergency, and I have to get to Guitar Center. So, you know.
Oh, well, yeah, I understand that.
I played last night at Freddy's, and an hour and a half into it, I broke a string, and I decided I didn't want to go through the horror of changing the strings. So was either Killeen or Waco, and I decided for Waco, and that might have been wrong choice.
Was that a G string?
It was. Nobody put a G string in its place. It was a B string. And I didn't have an extra B string, so I used a G string, which is wound, which made for an interesting sound.
Yeah,
but, I was able to finish the set.
You didn't get
anyway,
the, you didn't
you
get the
my
pun
opinion,
there.
You asked for my opinion on this, and, and look, I don't disagree with anything you guys have said to this point of about Trump. I have not been a fan of the tweets, but they don't seem to have hurt him. He's had a lot of Republicans opposing him simply because he's Donald Trump and he's doing things differently. But I think it's interesting. I'd like to see a school superintendent at some point come from the business community. I would love to see that, but that's not possible because that's a closed loop system. But here's what I think.
There's a bureaucratic system that has to be followed, and that means it tends to encourage bureaucracy.
It certainly does. But look, there's a couple of ways to look at this extra debt that may or may not be added by this. I'm hopeful that it will spur a lot of money going into the Treasury through the fact that the corporations will spend and buy bricks and mortar and build buildings and hire more people and salaries will not be as depressed as they have been. And you have to admit, under Obama, we had 8 years of very moribund growth. It was not a pleasant place, the United States, to try to get a job in or to create a business. And I think there's
you didn't ask about that. I mean,
I think that's
Tom Perez, who was the Secretary of Labor and is now the chairman of the Democratic National Committee, has got to be one of the greater villains in the history of business.
Yes, and you couldn't put him on your show without a 10-second delay either, but that's beside the point.
Now, it would be because of what we were saying, what he was saying.
I don't mean to lecture the personal wealth coaches because you guys are my superior in every way in this. I'm a political guy and you guys are financial guys, and those things do have a little bit of overlap. But here's the thing. You and I, you two and I, both know that there are three major avenues of government spending. And two of them are difficult to touch. One of them is military, and Trump wants to grow the military. Mm-hmm. So we want to grow the military in addition to the tax cut. The second one is entitlements. Good luck with that. The third one is called discretionary. and it's the smallest piece of this pie, and it's the one where they actually have some place to do it. So I would look across the board, and I would probably implement the penny plan, where you take a penny all the way on all three of these. You take a – well, you take – I would get rid of the programs that we could get rid of out of discretionary. And then I would implement the penny plan. In year one, you take a penny out of every dollar. In year two, you take a penny out of every dollar. And in 5 to 10 years, it all mounts up. And mm-hmm. without really, I think, hurting anything.
You know, actually, that's been done before.
Did it work?
No.
Congress changes it.
Actually, it was done for defense under Barack Obama, and that's why we
have – sequestration.
Do you remember sequestration?
Yeah,
but we're still feeling it.
Working,
but this
until
is the point.
No,
it isn't. That's why the Navy ships are running into each other and running into other people. You ask the government to do the same job or a greater job, because that's what we demand, but give them just a little less money each year to do it. And pretty soon, things start to get pretty badly screwed up. And that is not a good way to run a business.
The biggest change needs to be cutting the responsibility of a department at the same time that you're cutting the funding.
You know, like the SEC and the IRS are both chronically underfunded. And that is very frustrating for us, by the way, because we know of violations that don't get enforced because the SEC is underfunded. We know that the IRS could bring in more money if they had more money.
Well, probably true, but let me ask Jake a specific question. You said you're reading this bill. How many pages is it?
It's just over 1,000, but that's a little bit it's misleading, because if you think of a page, and usually in a book, it's got a certain number of pages or a certain number of words in it. If you look at a tax bill,
it's referenced out the wazoo.
Yeah,
sure.
It's one column of the front page of a newspaper.
That gives the congressman
referring to this and referring to that.
Right.
It would be 10,000 pages if they printed all that in there. Here's my question. When Jimmy Carter talked about tax simplification, I remember a certain comedian reading the tax simplification law and getting roars from the audience.
That was a thousand
pages, you are not simplifying anything.
Yeah,
you
correct.
Have to go to the fair tax.
Agreed.
No, I think your memory may be in error. I don't think Jimmy Carter wanted tax simplification. He did sponsor and insist on the passage of the Paperwork Reduction Act. And in every bill and everything you get from the government now, you have 5 or 6 pages of print that's supposed to reduce paperwork.
Right. You got to reprint things many, many times to reduce the paperwork.
And he is the daddy of the Paperwork Reduction Act, which has got to be one of the greatest oxymorons in the history of the world.
Yeah.
Promised to drain the swamp.
Well,
how do we drain the swamp? This has been any bill that changes the tax code. Is a godsend and a full employment bill for the swamp.
You got it.
What he's doing, and this is important to recognize, he's trying a new way of draining. What he's doing is drain through flooding.
Right. If you pump a lot of water into the swamp,
you can drain water out of it.
Yes.
But not net negative. You got a net positive amount of water, but you are getting water out of the swamp.
And let me tell you that. The tax bill that he just signed did not reduce complexity.
Trump is engaging in Cloward-Piven strategy?
I don't know what a Cloward, but let me tell you, this tax bill includes
professors at Columbia who were far leftist who wanted to have so much welfare, so much government spending that it completely destroyed the system, and then we could start over with a socialist government.
It's called
Cloward-Piven strategy.
He didn't quite get there. But I want you to know, if you actually read the bill, Jake, I haven't read it. Jake is far further into it. There is an entire section of this bill that specifies the exact tax on craft beer according to which fruits go into it.
Yes.
Yeah, so, I know that. There's a brewery down in Toledo that's been fighting that, and I can't understand this.
This is going to be good for them. It's one of those things. I was reading along, and I hadn't seen anything about this. I was reading along, and the brewery, by the way, is called The Barrow, and it's awesome.
Yes,
if you like
it is.
Beer,
it's wonderful. I've been there.
Check it out.
And you have to export in order to pay the tax, so they're not exporting out of the country. So
yeah, well, and they could.
They're exporting it out of Salado.
They could export it out of the country. This tax law was only on excise taxes, not inside the United States taxes. So transferring beer from one state to another is difficult.
It falls under the interstate commerce.
Yeah, case. It's like anyway, Europe has a better system there than we do.
This bill, with its seven tax brackets, and if you just read the implications for small businesses as to whether you get the 20% break or don't, man, is it all that, you know, they should rename this bill. When you talk about the jobs, it is the Accountants and CPAs Full Employment Act of 2017.
Yeah.
Paul Ryan goes around with a postcard.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. Yeah. But
well, that will be true
every time I see it.
That will be true for a very large number of people for a very short period of time.
Yeah,
and before it disappears and gets more complex.
Is the fair tax? I don't care. I know Congress doesn't want it because it diminishes their power. K Street doesn't want it because it would almost destroy their power. The biggest drain of the swamp that is possible would be to get rid of the Internal Revenue Code, the Internal Revenue Service.
We would still have to have the Internal Revenue Service to collect the fair tax.
Under the fair, you just have to have some little commission to make sure the taxes got collected.
It would still have to be there. Texas has a revenue commission. So, yeah, there would be something that does its job. It would be a lot smaller.
In its infinite wisdom, the now Republican-controlled FCC is about to do all the wonderful things that they did for radio for television.
Yes.
And as you're sitting in a studio right now that modern doesn't begin to describe it.
Well, it does in the 1950s modern sense.
Wait till you see what happens when television has the same rule that radio has.
Well, they've already did it. They already did it to the internet.
400 television stations.
They also they just basically said monopolies are okay on the internet.
Exactly. And that's my biggest disagreement with the Federal Communications Commission in my life. It's crazy. What they've done to AM radio is a sin.
There's an interesting shift in the Republican Party right now. There's a lot of things shifting. Number one, anti-free trade. Number two, pro-monopoly. When did that happen?
Yes. I don't know, guys, but I preach on my radio show. I'd like to have more than one choice for a land-based cable. I'd like to have more than two choices for satellite-based cable. I would like to have more than four choices for my cell phone carrier. I would like to have more than the two choices I have for my internet carrier.
Okay, all you have to do
let's move into colleges now. How about choices in college? Why wouldn't we be able to go to Harvard while sitting in Texas? Because there's this really, really brand new, I don't know if anybody's out there has heard about it yet, but there's a new technology called the internet.
Yeah.
But we're still...
And it's free again,
and
too.
And we're still requiring people to show up in Boston to go to Harvard when Harvard's got its classes online for free.
Well,
they're just not accredited.
For that. Gentlemen, there is a reason for that. The left tells us every day that if you're sitting in a math class, an algebra class, a sociology class, you cannot learn unless all the people around you are diverse. And therefore, if you're sitting in your own living room, the people around you will not be diverse. Obviously, you cannot have a college experience.
Can we just throw parties? We could take attendance at a party for diversity, and then we could have a class in our living room.
Well, all right. We're fairly close together on some of this.
I think Lynn, you ought to talk about next week or when you get back on the Redidio. And I think there's something that I think is very important, and we want to talk about it today. We have time. A very fundamental shift in United States foreign policy has occurred within the last 2 weeks. It is the most fundamental shift since Woodrow Wilson.
It's a big deal.
You're talking about if you don't support us on moving the capital.
No.
Jerusalem,
no.
That will cut off your foreign aid.
No. What happened is we issued a strategic statement. Strategic statement the United States has issued, which the State Department is required to issue by law annually by Congress, has since Woodrow Wilson got us involved in the war to make the world safe for democracy, has talked about the furthering of democracy and cooperation. Not that we necessarily did either one, but that's what we officially.
And not that Woodrow Wilson was much of a president.
Right, but this ahead. Is this. It's been around that long. This strategic policy statement turned it all on its head. It said nothing about the word democracy isn't in there. It just basically says our way of doing things may not be your way of doing anything, and we don't care. And secondly, we are not in cooperation with the rest of the world. We're in competition with the rest of the world. That doesn't mean we have to be enemies or go to war. But let's face it, we're competing. And the ideological conflict that started with at the time of Woodrow Wilson, with on one side you had monarchies and the other side you had democracy, that went through the bipolar world of communism. And I mean, basically the world has been divided into ideologies, competing ideologies.
Well, it sounds
since
like to me
then,
that strategy was written by the people who run Walgreens and CVS.
But this is what this
you,
is.
You put one or the other on the corner across from the other one because they're in competition. Trump is a businessman.
Yeah, and,
Trump is looking at it from that standpoint.
But this is the point. We no longer are talking about ideology as the basis for cooperation or for opposition. We
well,
simply
how can
say.
We? Barack Obama's ideology is as far
wait a minute. Wait a minute. We're talking about Donald Trump here. We're talking about Donald Trump
and
today.
We're talking about Donald Trump.
And today.
We've shifted to a different ideology. Some people think Donald
Trump.
No.
Back up. Lynn, that's not what I'm saying.
More conservatively than Reagan.
Lynn, that's not what I'm saying. No ideology is in there of any kind.
Right.
It's the point.
But a competitive spirit is in there.
It's the point is that there are three blocks in the world today. And we are not competing for the first time in almost 100, well, in 100 years, for the first time. We're not competing based on ideology. We're competing based on self-interest. And that's a statement of fact that is that is real politic written well. That's one of the
is
in my
bad?
Opinion, that's
is,
one
are
of the
you seeing this
no,
as
no,
a bad thing?
No, I see it as a wonderful thing. It's one of the things I was commending the Trump administration for doing. I don't know that Donald Trump originated this. It's brilliant thought. It is recognition of the fact that we're not competing against communism. We're not competing against fascism. We're not competing against any of the isms anymore. It's not our ism against your ism. It's, and matter of fact, it states that. It simply says, we believe, in essence, in enlightened self-interest, which is precisely Adam Smith.
It's capitalism.
Yeah.
It is an ism. It's just they didn't.
I'm prepared to defend that.
You want to look it up. I think this is a big plus. It is one of the things that the history books will look back on and say, this is a major turning point in the history of the world. Right here.
Yeah, I think so too.
Because World War I, World War II, Vietnam, you name it, the wars we have been in since Woodrow Wilson have all been ideologically based.
Mm-hmm.
Drop ideology and say, we're in business and it is not good business to blow people up. So that means that Russia and China and the United States can agree that any ism that gets out there that starts blowing people up, whether or not we don't care about our isms. I don't care what ism China has. I don't care what ism Russia has. Whichever one they come up with, that's cool. The issue is we're all in business, and let's do business in an appropriate way.
It recognizes a true ism. I said ism there.
And
of the world,
like,
and that the Palestinians are democratically elected.
Right.
Yeah. Exactly.
So
but
we
it's
should
not
be
like we haven't been totally doing it the old way. We've been doing it this way for mm-hmm. some time.
And we discovered
the administration is acknowledging that.
And anybody that takes one hard look at Palestine will realize that the fact that the George W. Bush administration, and George W. Bush was an evangelist for democracy, he insisted they have popular elections, and Hamas won.
And then he didn't like it. Well, none of us have liked it.
Terrorist
organization wants.
So there are places in the world where democracy is not the best form of government.
Yeah, we got Morsi in Egypt because of the same thing.
You got it.
And then that led to a coup and put El-Sisi in power.
It was just a different kind of democratic election.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
It was a democratic election where they counted votes that were represented by tanks and guns.
Right. Yeah, a tank has
so
more
it's basically, if you'll do business with us, we'll do business with you. But if you try to blow us up, we may blow you up.
And there are certain business rules that go on that include you don't send armed forces and take somebody else's territory.
Now, I do think that it's important.
Ergo, we arm Ukraine.
Right. I just did.
Exactly.
One important point here is that in doing this, there are certain aspects of our own self-interest that we have to stick by our guns, which before we would hide under democracy and human rights. Well, now it's intellectual property rights. And that means that a country that does not respect our patents, that does not respect our ability to make a profit from our own brain work, we cannot trade with.
And you mean China.
And I mean China. And that means that China has been working towards that. But the whole concept of free trade was to give them an incentive large enough to allow them to want to encourage intellectual property.
You asked about my opinion of Donald Trump, and here's my opinion.
That's the biggest catastrophe.
If you could get that man to stop tweeting and keep his mouth shut, he could be one of the great presidents in the history of the United States. Because he will not stop tweeting, and he has taken the position and has pushed the position on the Justice Department that his tweets are official government statements, it's all going to blow up in his face.
Look, I've been right where you are, and I don't understand it. It's not my style. I wouldn't operate that way were I in his shoes. And as a talk show host, I don't operate that way. A guy sent me a terrible email yesterday about a show I did, and I sent him back a happy Christmas message. And 2 hours later, I got another email from a guy who said it was the best show I had ever done.
Well, it probably was both.
Hopefully, you sent him a have a happy Christmas message too.
No, he sent him a you know, I hope you're really miserable over Christmas.
Yeah, exactly. But I don't disagree with that at all. But I'm about to get out of the car here. But I think that maybe you could comment on one other thing, and that is one of the reasons that Trump tweets, and perhaps both of these things feed on each other. But when you've got a network, and I don't even consider MSNBC to be one, but CNN is, when you've got a network that has a boss, Jeff Zucker, that openly hates you, everything you've ever stood for, everything you've ever done, and instructs his entire network to be anti you 24 hours a day. I can see why Trump gets enough of it.
So you're
and
saying
I'm
that
hang up and listen to that.
Thank you guys.
I do. As we go into the new year, number one, I want to wish Jeff the best of health. I know you had a little situation last year, and I hope that that's all taken care of and that you have a healthy year.
Thank you.
And Jake, a Merry Christmas to you too.
Thank you.
And your show, and I hope you're on for a long time, and I'll listen over the air.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. That means that Barack Obama should have been tweeting about Fox News.
Oh. Well, the thing is that what he said there right there was true. There's a network out there whose owner or manager is totally against the president. This is a tradition
every president.
Going back, I mean, anybody that remembers William Randolph Hearst or knows any history about him or any other great newspaper tycoons, we just changed the media. It's not
medium,
newspaper
medium.
Or medium. I would say change the media in that all of it is changed. We're going to the internet. He's replying with Twitter. And in Twitter, he's buying his electronic ink by the barrel.
The difference is, that, and here's the subject. And
we got to play some commercials.
Okay, let me get this one thing out and you can play a commercial. And there are some of the things that President Trump has tweeted that are very clearly false, evidentially false, and they have been denigrating to another person. In other words, he has said bad things that are demonstrably untrue. He has been unable, nor anyone else able, to provide any backing for those tweets. When the president of the United States runs down somebody when they've done nothing to be run down, I mean, it's just false, and then he doesn't retract it. Then when he opens his mouth the next time and says North Korea is about to attack us, there's a lot of people who won't believe. Anyway,
right. We've got commercials to play. We'll be back on the other side with more of the Personal Wealth Coach. If you'd like to join us, the phone number in here is 254-773-1400, and we'll be back.
Done a terrible job.
Mm-hmm.
And we're back with more of the first.
Jake.
Mac Lure. And I think the music is a little loud. Anyway, so we are back with the First and Wealth Coach, and the telephone number is 254-773-1400. And the mic got switched on there, and you picked up the tail end of what I was saying. You know, and again, I want to say, I think
there's a caller on the line too.
As far as is the actions of the administration, on balance, President Trump has his administration has done more good than bad. Personally, I rather profoundly object to some of the things he's doing, and I think that they're damaging to the long-term institution of the presidency. But we have a caller on 773-1400. So, caller, you're on the air with the Personal Wealth Coach. Go ahead.
This is Don from Moffitt. We've talked over the years. I always enjoy your show. What I would like to ask you specifically is, what lies has Trump told that that can be proven that are lies? And I'll listen to you off air.
Good question.
I don't have all the data in front of me. One of the big ones was when he insisted that President Obama had bugged Trump Tower. He made a very clear statement that was a clear violation of the law. It's a felony. It would be grounds to prosecute President Obama had he illegally bugged Trump Tower, and it turned out that President Trump had heard a guy on Fox who had totally unsubstantiated claims in a book, and there's never been any evidence whatsoever from anywhere that they're true. The agencies with people working for President Trump have clearly stated that they've done thorough investigation and found absolutely no evidence that Trump Tower was ever bugged by the Obama administration. That's one. There have been a lot of others. I don't have them right on the top of my head. That one alone is pretty bad. Anytime there's a commandment that thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. And that is a false witness born against his neighbor. And the guy who was on, he heard, was right. You know, the White House has officially said now that he heard a guy on Fox News who was being interviewed about his new book, who made the statement, and the president took it as fact and then tweeted that it was a fact. It turned out after a thorough investigation, it was not true at all, and he never went back and said, I'm really sorry. The public statement I made officially as president of the United States that you had broken the law, and he's the chief law enforcement officer.
Well, there's another piece.
Was not true.
There's the piece that is the most misleading. It's not always false, but a lot of times is the two-word fake news. He says fake news anytime the news media disagrees with something he says, which basically when you label someone a liar for disagreeing with you, that's a problem. It doesn't hurt their credibility, it hurts yours. If someone tells me that they don't like my opinion on something and I tell them that they're a liar, then the next step is a problem. And it's not necessarily that it's false, because there is a lot of fake news, but it benefits him as often as it's against him. So it's really hard. Anyway, we got a caller on 773-1400. Go ahead.
Hi, just a couple of comments. One about Trump, and I think one of the things that bothers me along with his tweets is just he can't disagree with anyone, or no one can disagree with him without him insulting. It's not just
right.
He disagrees with them, but he has to insult them, call them names or something. I think that's, you know, for a president to do that, I think that's just, like you said, just lowering the prestige of the office.
Yeah, it lowers the prestige of the office, and it lowers the timbre of the argument. You can't have a progressive argument. There's a thing here, and progressive not in the political sense, but one that makes us move forward together. We have this team system built in, the Republicans versus the Democrats. And if we cannot have a president that reminds us that we're all on the same team, that we're all Americans, then at least he should not say anything about that. But he's kind of the one that is the most destabilizing. He's ripping us apart rather than bringing us together.
The question was asked, what are some of the laws? On December 21st, he said, we have repealed Obamacare. They didn't. On December 15th, he tweeted, Missouri is one of 13 states this year that have seen unemployment drop to the lowest levels in the history of their state. Absolutely not true. On December 11th, he said, black home ownership just hit the highest level it has been in the history of the country.
Not true.
Absolutely not true. Hillary Clinton lied many times to the FBI. The FBI has said no, Hillary Clinton never lied to her.
It's illegal to lie to the FBI. You go to jail for that.
Both his director that is in there today that he nominated and Comey both said they never have any evidence that Hillary Clinton lied to the FBI. He tweeted that the tax bill is going to cost me a fortune. This thing, believe me, this is not good for me. The lowest estimate is over $100 billion in tax savings for Donald Trump from this tax bill.
$100 million, not billion.
I mean, $100 million.
That would
I'm
be
sorry.
Multiplying yeah. his net worth by quite a lot.
The GOP plan he supports, he said, he said this is the biggest tax cut in U.S. history. It's about the eighth
largest. So he uses hyperbole as fact. And I like hyperbole. Everybody likes hyperbole. In fact, I like to say hyperbole is the best thing ever, and only the nerds are laughing at the moment.
One other comment I was going to make, which is totally has nothing to do with Trump, but I just thought about it when you guys were talking about the Canadians and their coins and versus the U.S. not wanting to go to coins. It reminded me of and reminded from time to time about when the government tried to put the U.S. on the metric system.
Right.
And, you know, the Canadians, they just said, hey, we're going to the metric system. And
we're going to the metric system,
They did it. And they did
we
it.
Did.
And then the Americans, they said, kind of just stuck, you know, big strawberry. And you remember, for a while, we would have road signs that were in both miles and kilometers. And if you notice, the kilometers have now disappeared. So this is something about the American public. About the American public when they just said, hey, were you going to do all this stuff? Sometimes they just say, nope, we're not going
to
do it.
You know, the easiest way to get us to the metric system is just to start calling the other system its real name. And then we'll say, no, we don't want that. It's the royal system.
Yeah, we should call this the English royal system.
And then we should throw in stones as a weight. And then everyone would say, no, let's go to kilograms immediately.
Okay, well, thanks, guys. Yeah. I love your show. And
thanks for calling.
Just wanted to make a couple of observations. Thank you.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
You know, we probably ought to talk about the economy a little bit.
Let's do that. We've been on politics for long enough. Not that they're completely separated, but they should be more separated. That's my opinion.
We are in amazingly good shape. It very much looks like the fourth quarter is going to come in again around 3%. The orders for durable goods, and we talked about last week the fact that employment was up in industries that make durable goods. We said this is an indication that they see big money coming in down the road because when they hire somebody, they got to train them, and it takes months at the very minimum to bring them up to speed and sometimes years. And now we've seen report from the I think it's from the Census Bureau, but also from the Bureau of Economic Analysis, that durable goods manufacturing, that's stuff that's going to last more than 3 years, is rising very substantially. It's up over 5.6% in the last year. New home building up 5.1% over the last year.
Housing starts for first-time home buyers is kind of close to off the charts. We're getting up to record levels.
So what we're seeing in the broad economy, and that's not – we're just kind of skimming over the surface on this stuff here as we come to the end of the hour, is a very dramatic increase in economic activity in the United States. And frankly, and I'm not trying to denigrate the president anyway, he had nothing to do with it. Just like if he makes a statement that previously would have caused the market to drop, the market ignores it. If he signs a bill normally that would have caused a big market move, the market ignores it. Bottom line to it, it's earnings, and it's been coming a long time, and a lot of it is from outside the United States. And we have a caller on 773-1400. You're on the air with the Personal Wealth Coach. Go ahead.
Hey, Jeff, it's Neil Trent down in Salado.
Hello, Neil Trent down in Salado.
And I'll say hi, too, even though you very clearly didn't say hi to me.
That wasn't very
nice.
Well,
I was going to mention you very prominently. Keep your shirt on, Jake.
It's hot in here. Where can I say?
Yeah,
Yeah, I know. I sat in here
now,
one time.
We could call you Colonel Doctor. Is it Dr. Colonel or Colonel Doctor?
Anything but late to dinner.
Okay. All right.
Okay. Hey, I just wanted to call in and just tell you, Merry Christmas.
Thank you. Well, thank you very much. Happy Merry Christmas to you and a very, very happy and prosperous New Year and healthy New Year to you and your family, okay?
Hoo-ah. Well, anyway, I also wanted to thank you for everything you've done for us over the years, and particularly this year. Your kindness and generosity has just been overwhelming. And, Jake...
That's what the IRS said.
Yeah, no kidding. Hey, it's going to get better. It's going to get better.
Yes.
Jake, I also wanted to mention to you, I listened a week or two ago when you were going over Bitcoins.
Yeah.
And I told Donna today that, you know, if Jake McClure, as fluently as he can explain the most difficult things, can't make me understand Bitcoin.
All you have to think of Bitcoin is imagine a thing and then pay money for it. Don't make it real yet. Just imagine it.
Yeah, it doesn't really exist. It's just imaginary.
I think my explanation for it's probably the best, and that's basically it's like carbon credits. You're just selling
it. Exactly. You are absolutely correct there. Only carbon credits would be mandated.
There is a seven. Like I said, I mentioned earlier, there was an initial coin offering, a legal initial coin offering. They gathered in the first few days $700 billion for a
million.
New 700. Million. I'm sorry, I'm getting my millions and billions mixed up.
Yeah, you're having a problem with that.
Yes, I do today. $700 million in initial investment, and they state in their statement it is of no use. You can't do anything with it. You can't physically possess it.
And from their perspective, they say the same thing about a dollar. What can you do? Well, you can write notes on it.
No. You can take a dollar and go get a cup of coffee in some places.
Yeah,
it's true. It's true.
Add a few cents to that. But did you just say exactly?
Did I say exactly?
Yeah.
I did, and I used hyperbole there. Shame on me.
I mean, I was hoping you would stand by that. But.
No, I got to say, there's no such thing as exactly unless you're pointing at the thing that is exactly it.
Oh, well, that's disappointing.
Yeah, it's a sad. Everything's unique.
No, there is a exactly, but there is no exactly.
Yeah, that's from a Robin Williams movie.
Mm-hmm.
I almost got excited for a minute, but now I got blood shooting out of my eyes. Anyway, I'll let y'all go. I know you're almost done, but Merry Christmas to both of you and your wonderful staff.
Merry Christmas, Neil. We appreciate it.
Take care. Out here.
What's coming up in the next year? We might want to talk about that just a little bit. I mean,
there's
a lot more we could talk about the economy, but we're running out of time.
Yeah, the tax bill is going to be great for business. It's going to be great for individuals. The vast majority of people are going to have a big tax cut, and it's going to help you. The few people that will not have a tax cut, because those people get mentioned, someone who is not married, lives in a high property tax, high income tax state, and has a very high income. Those are the people that are going to have a tax bill that's bigger than before, but it won't be very much bigger than before. We're talking about a very small increase for them. For everybody else, you're going to have a relatively large income added to you. And for those of you that own small businesses, you're about to have a windfall, massive one.
This is our advice to you. And this is one worth listening to and taking action on, because most people won't. Everybody, just about, certainly almost everybody in Texas, will pay less federal income tax next year. Small businesses more than others. That means
they will pay more less than others?
Small businesses will get a bigger tax break than others. This is temporary. The corporate tax break is permanent. The other one is temporary. It's going to come to an end, and we're going to have to pay it back. This is a windfall.
Manage it appropriately.
Don't blow it, because if you do, you're going to be unhappy.
Don't expect the windfall to repeat itself lots and lots of times into the future. It costs too much. No future Congress is going to say, hey, this is sustainable. So keep that in mind and expect it to change. Even if it doesn't change, it's already written in to change.
It very much reminds me of two events in history. We got a telephone call?
Yeah, we've got just about 1 minute, caller. So caller on 773-1400, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Thank you. I wanted to pass along that the measurement system that we use in the United States is called the United States Customary System, and it is not the same as the imperial system.
But it's really, right. It's based on the imperial system.
You're right, and I didn't mean to imply it. I was recommending that we call it that so that we would change it, not to say that it was this, because we would have to start using stones and a bunch of other
weird stuff. That does not change the fact that the name of it is the United States Customary System, and it is not the same as any other.
You're right.
It's
agreed.
Agreed. Anyway, so thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you for the call.
And actually, if we went to the metric system, we'd have to say it was the French system because they maintain the meter. They actually have one.
There's a French meter
in the Louvre. Is the actual meter that is the standard for the metric system?
I think
made out of platinum.
I think it goes much smaller now, and we've revised even that.
Anyway,
so we're about out of time, though.
Oh yeah, we're right. Really quickly, this particular tax cut, this event at this time, reminds me of two things: 1994, when we had a tax holiday and a bunch of money came home, and there were share buybacks, and it started a bull market that ended badly in 2000. And the other time was the Economic Recovery Act that ended badly with the real estate crash. And we can talk about that next week. So until next week, this has been the Personal Wealth Coach. If you'd like to contact us off the air, we have a local telephone number that's called 254-947-1111. Or
you can reach that same voicemail toll free at 1-800-914-7526. You can email us at jeff or jake@tpwc.com. You can go to thepersonalwealthcoach.com, listen to podcasts, and read our philosophy. Until next week, this has been the Personal Wealth Coach. And we're going to keep talking because the station has their timer messed up. They usually drop off 10 seconds early. Until next week, this has been the Personal Wealth Coach.